In New Orleans, the magic key that unlocks the world's secrets goes something like this. Where'd you go to school? In our post-Katrina days, now somehow 15 years worth of days, maybe that question doesn't matter quite as much. With so much new life from so many new transplants who have to our ears so many unintelligible high school alma maters, making it impossible to draw those quick conclusions we so love. But the wisdom, I think, is still there. New Orleanians are in on the secret that you never completely leave childhood or adolescence behind. It's still there, playing somehow in the present. 45 minutes north of Nashville is the childhood home of my one surviving grandparent, my mother's mother, who hails from Cedar Hill, Tennessee. Being called the buckle of the Bible Belt, this area didn't have a lot of Catholic trappings, our kind, we could say. In the one-road town of Cedar Hill, there are two big buildings, a Methodist church, and directly across the street, a Baptist church. My grandmother and her family would hit the left blinker and turn into the Methodist parking lot. Except in the summer. You see, as much as living in New Orleans most of her adult life has made her very receptive to Catholicism, to our kind, she's never left that childhood behind. A childhood that included summer Bible camp at the Catholic Church. Just below Cedar Hill, out in the woods, once you make it through the turn the locals like to call the Devil's Elbow, a sharp turn, believe it or not a sharp insult at us, you'll find St. Michael Catholic Church, founded in 1842, the oldest Catholic church in Tennessee. It's where 70-something years ago, little Barbara Ann Farmer would be picked up by Sister Blanche and Sister Bernadette and Sister Mary Josephine and Father Walker, who took the Devil's Elbow for all it was worth, much too fast for the sisters' liking, with their final destination being that Catholic summer Bible camp. It's a winding 15-minute drive on today's paved roads. It had to be quite the adventure in the late 1940s. This is my picture of church this morning. Father Walker at the wheel, the sisters holding down their habits in the wind, my grandmother on a great Bible adventure. This is my picture because it's something of Jesus's picture as well. For all the flavor and brightness of today's gospel, that salt and light imagery, what is being said is church is church to the degree that it is missionary, that it is moving, that it has a clear and identifiable, windswept and devil's elbow bending purpose. And when it does, when it is, when we are disciples in this way, that light will be visible long into the future. That salt can be tasted decades and decades later. Just ask my grandmother, very much still Methodist, but very much still in the back seat of that car. Jesus' words today in Matthew's gospel follow directly behind the Beatitudes, the famous chain of eight blessed are yous. And they come just before his maximalist morality series, his "You have heard that it was said, but I say to you." Today, in some way, bridges those two, reminding us this isn't a private closed-door invitation, faith, just about controlling my inner state and not succumbing to temptation. The Sermon on the Mount is not decorative, just for home walls or courthouse lawns. It's decisive. The Sermon on the Mount is not faith-based poetry, just for flowery recitations and Etsy shops. It's an action plan. You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. But isn't this, a little showy? Jesus also says something about being humble and quiet, doesn't he? Remember, neither salt nor light is used for itself. I've never been recommended to start a meal with that salt shaker special the chef just wants you to go for. I've never been told, as misguided as my youth might have been, to go outside and stare at the sun's rays. Salt enhances something. Light illuminates something. Through both, life is enhanced. So I think our question is, would people describe our discipleship in this way? The public enhancement of life. The ability to point on to God, from whom we have received, for whom we are destined. If not, or if maybe not completely or abundantly, what's affecting our salting, our lighting? Salt loses its flavor not from some chemical reaction, but only when it's mixed with too many other things, when it becomes impure. Where has the church's fundamental mission been lost for mixing with secondary, lesser things? Light loses its luster when it's hidden away under heavy, dense stuff. Where have I placed heavy concerns over the light entrusted to me? You are salt, you are light. Jesus says this morning, but hear him clearly. You are mission. Remember someone who has made that clear to you, a faith well lived, a faith vibrantly lived, a faith still lived within, though many years past. There's a reason my Methodist grandmother returns to St. Michael Church and Father Walker's car rides. There's a purpose to our faith.